Money FM 89.3, best of your money.
It created quite a buzz yesterday, headlines and stories referencing DBS Digital Exchange, which, if eventually confirmed, could be one of the world's first crypto exchanges backed by a traditional bank. A version of the exchange's webpage was made public for a short while yesterday, but later taken down. It said the platform will list four top cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Ether, Ripple, and Bitcoin Cash, against multiple fiats, including the Singapore dollar, US dollar, Hong Kong dollar, and Japanese yen. DBS has said that DBS's plans for a digital exchange are still a work in progress and have not received regulatory approvals. And until such time as approvals are in place, no further announcements will be made. Also making news, investment banking giant JP Morgan about to see the first commercial transactions with its own cryptocurrency, JPM Coin. So is the marriage of institutional players and crypto gathering momentum? Or will the moves largely impact fundraising companies, global payments, and the institutional investor? Or could we be witnessing a real shift in the commercialization of technologies? Are more being brought into the regulatory fold? For the answers, we turn to Krishna Ramachandra, Managing Director of Duane Morrison Selvam LLC and Senior Advisor to the Global Blockchain Foundation. Krishna is also Chairman of the Helix Initiative. Good morning, Krishna. How are you today?
Good morning, Michelle. I'm great. Thank you.
So what was your initial reaction to stories of what we know now is only in the works, the DBS exchange? What do you think we can gather from the overall digital strategy of a possible exchange that seems to be shaped around fundraising for SMEs and corporates to raise capital through security tokens?
Well, you know, putting aside DBS, but for any traditional bank embarking on something like this, it's, you know, highly symbolic. And I think it's going to signal a massive sea change in really bridging that trust divide, the trust gap that currently exists with old world thinking and what we see with largely the Gen Z and people who have already adopted cryptographically designed assets.
So what do you think this, what would such an exchange mean for investors really?
Well, you know, it's actually, I think, a very clever strategy if a bank goes on to do something like this, because for a traditional bank, you know, there's all this talk about the new banks, you know, the banks, the digital banks that are virtual and have got no branches. The new banks are being vouted as the next generation of banking. But, you know, I think that's overplayed somewhat. But even if it's overplayed, this is a useful strategy, I think, for traditional banks to reach out and future-proof themselves against the increasing influence that the neobanks would have, especially with Gen Z, because that sector, that segment of the market is the segment that banks, traditional banks, would want to capture in years to come. You know, those who are just fresh out of school and in the workforce and who are already very savvy and active in the crypto market.
Help us understand the mechanism of such an exchange that would raise capital through a security token.
Right. In theory, the exchange would have to sign off on the disclosures made by the offering the issuer, mm-hmm. and it's no different from a stock exchange. So there would be a two-prong process. One would be the exchange in itself presenting and getting sign off by the MAS on each offering that is made. The MAS may also decide in some instances to have that sign off delegated as well. So to a sponsor like system. So it depends. You know, it's not necessarily one size fits all. It depends on what the MAS decides in this instance. And I think, you know, we should point out that it's still early days, and in a sense, you know, let's just hope and pray that everything goes well, and that, you know, Singapore has a bank that is able to bridge this gap. I think it's going to be significant.
All All right, let's look at JP Morgan now. So the investment banking giant announced its plans about a year ago for the JPM coin. According to a report from CNBC, a major tech firm is going to be using this token to make global payments starting this week. What do you make of this?
I think it's a good move. The JPM coin is designed as a stable coin, so it's they're already drawing the line in the sand, if you like, by reaching out to the traders, because the stable coin would be one that speculators and traders in the on exchanges would seek out, because it's the volatility preventer for them. So that's a good strategy, and I think it's one that is slowly being tested out by them in terms of how else they can reach out to the institutional community that have, I feel, slowly put their feelers out. And I think when there is a flight to crypto digital assets, you'll see those banks and those institutions that have already set up custodyship capabilities, as well as onboarding. That would be a significant advantage for those institutions.
Do the moves by JP Morgan mirror in any way PayPal's foray into crypto, or do you see any other moves being made recently that does mirror this?
Well, I think JP Morgan's move is astute and clever, because it complements rather than mirrors. And I think it's one which is designed to, I guess, embrace most of the other big traditional payment service providers that are seeking out, if you like, very credible, established traditional banking entities. Although I would say that JP Morgan is actually quite avant-garde in that.
So this JPM coin, what does it mean for the market of other coins? Is it going to, if it is used widely, diminish the value of, say, other crypto assets like Bitcoin?
No, definitely not. I mean, it's actually meant to, it's complementary, because as a stable coin, what it does is it allows a trader or a speculator to go into the market and not be too concerned about the volatility that exists still in the crypto market, and allows them the convenience to still hold on to the crypto designed and the crypto stated value, as opposed to having to convert it to fiat before going in back to the market. So that convenience in itself is I think a significant plus point. And, you know, when you compare it against the other stable coins that are out there, you know, they're nowhere as close as, you know, credible to the likes of the JPM or any other similar player coming in.
All right. So if we do see the building of a digital assets trading platform backed by a bank, JPM coin does take off, will this have a knock-on effect of legitimizing digital assets for a wider investor base?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting word you use, legitimizing. I think it's more, I think, the appetite and the trust divide. I mean, these assets are already legitimate in many markets. In terms of convincing them, and perhaps in many instances when you look at the institutional funds that have a strict mandate in that were crafted much earlier, then, you know, this would significantly help, I believe. And I think this will have a knock-on effect, and, you know, this will be the necessary fillip, I think, to ensure that the playing ground is level and broad for all sorts of assets, you know, digital or non-digital, as well as for all sorts of investors coming into the market, because I think the next 18 months is going to be very interesting. And those institutions, those banks, those investment funds that are ready for this market, so to speak, coming up, I think will be well placed.
He's Krishna Ramachandra, Managing Director of Duane Morris and Selvam LLC and Senior Advisor to the Global Blockchain Foundation, Chairman of the Helix Initiative. Thanks so much, Krishna.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.